You are listening to UCC 98.3 FM. My name is Erin and this is Objection. Today I was speaking to Emily Sweeney about ocean conservation and we had a slight problem, a slight technical difficulty with the logger. So the sound is a little bit funky, a little bit less high quality than you may be used to, but you should be able to hear everything we say. So hopefully you can still enjoy the show and enjoy the interview. So I'm going to hand you over to the live recording now. You are listening to UCC 98.3 FM and this is Objection with Erin. It is currently 10:05 a.m. Now today I have Emily on with me to talk about ocean conservation. It's set to be a really interesting episode, so make sure to stay tuned. Right, we're going to play another couple of songs and then we're going to get into the interview section of today's show. We're going to start off with Thick and Thin by Cruiser and then go into Indie Alt Boys by Ghost Rider. This is UCC 98.3 FM and you are listening to Objection with Erin. And that was Just to Keep You Satisfied by Inhaler. You are listening to UCC 98.3 FM. My name is Erin and this is Objection. It is currently 10:15 a.m. Now we are going to begin the interview section of the show. So I have Emily on with me today to talk about ocean conservation. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Right, so let's just get straight into it. So who are you? Where are you from? What are you studying? Give me a little bit of background information about you, basically.
So my name is Emily. I'm from West Cork, around like the kind of Skibbereen area along the coast, and I'm studying here in UCC. I'm studying Law International. I'm in second year. And yeah, I guess I'm just very passionate about the ocean.
Fab. And so what led you to being like really passionate about the ocean and involved in caring for it and involving for being like a kind of ocean advocate?
So I grew up around the ocean. So the beach is about like, I want to say like a few hundred yards, meters from my house. And my family would be very like from coastal areas. My mom is from Cape Clear Island and my dad's family is also from Connemara. So very like coastal areas. And like growing up, we went to the beach a lot because it was right next to our house. And I don't know, it's just like always felt very instinctual to carry. Instinctual to care about the ocean. And like, I remember growing up and seeing like strandings of animals and things. I remember the one, I don't know if you remember, but Cort McSherry, there was the big whale.
Mm.
That was like the early 2000s. But like, I remember like we popped in the car and saw that. And just like, I remember seeing a beached whale at my local beach as well. And just like things like that. But I never really like knew where to channel that into. Like I wouldn't say, I'm kind of like starting my journey in like environmentalism like now kind of, because like I've always cared about it and I've always been very passionate about activism, but just like environmentalism in general, I didn't know where to start. And I felt very, I think a lot of people feel very like, what can I do?
Yeah.
So it's mainly like the past year, I think. Mm-hmm. So I've always cared about the ocean, but kind of advocating and like being very actively involved is like a new thing somewhat.
Yeah. So what exactly is like ocean conservation and like what does it mean to you?
So ocean conservation is, I couldn't give you the scientific definition, but it is like marine protection, protection of the ecosystems of the earth. So the earth is 71% ocean, and I think it is 50% of our oxygen comes from the sea. So like these tiny plankton make 50% of the oxygen. So like the ocean is just like, I feel like it's kind of underrated, especially in Ireland, even though that's weird because, you know, we are like an island state, like the water's everywhere. But I think just like the protection and management of the ocean against like kind of threats like overfishing, dredging, seabed mining is like a big thing at the moment. Kind of plastic pollution, obviously, very bad. All that kind of stuff, and just like protection of the ocean from us, basically.
Basically, yeah. Fab, so you mentioned to me previously that you've recently become one of Antoshka's climate ambassadors. What is the Climate Ambassador Program, and how has your experience with it been so far?
It's been good. I just started in like January, so I applied, I want to say, November or October of last year, and I didn't think I would get it. I kind of just, and then you kind of, the program itself kind of like, the idea is that it like empowers you to take climate actions and climate communications. So you go to the initial training day, which I did in January, and you're kind of like trained in like talking about the climate and like climate actions. And there's so many people there of like all different ages. And I think when I went, I thought it would be like just like young people like ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when I went, it was like majority kind of older people. And like there was a lot of people younger than me as well, just like caring about the climate. And like there's lots of people involved in like different things, but they kind of like empower you to pick what you want to do. And then like you're given training and you get like a toolkit where lots of stuff, it's all like virtual, there's no paper stuff. You get like all these like resources on how to like carry out events, how to like communicate, all that sort of stuff. And like they're really like hands-on as well. Mm-hmm. Like you can like last week I had a call with them to talk about this. Like they're just really like encouraging,
yeah,
and stuff. They kind of just like, I suppose they empower you to do something. Like there's no real mm-hmm. direction you have to go. Yeah, but I'd really recommend it.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. So basically with that, with the Antoshka Climate Ambassador Program, and just with like ocean conservation in general, have you any thoughts on the law and how it interacts with ocean conservation, with you being a law student as well?
Yes, so I feel like when I first started like kind of caring about the ocean, I felt like very imposter syndrome because I'm not a marine biologist and I'm not an environmental scientist. But I feel like the like relevance of law can't really be like, you know, like stated enough, you know what I mean? Because like that's the way that we protect like the ocean from ourselves is through law. We're not gonna do it. It's quite clear we're not gonna do it on our own accord. But I feel like the best example is the High Seas Treaty was passed, well, it wasn't passed. It was agreed on Saturday night. So basically the High Seas, if you don't know what it is, it's like all the ocean outside of the ocean that belongs to states. So like outside of the Irish seas or outside of all the like territorial seas, there's the High Seas, which doesn't belong to anyone, mm-hmm. but it makes up the majority of the world. And it's kind of like, I feel like it's an interesting legal question, is like, how do you like, kind of, how do you protect something that like no one actually owns?
Mm-hmm.
Because all states have like the right to use the high seas and they all have the right to like fly their flag, but that means that it's very exploited because there's no real like hard law to do with it. But basically for the past like 10 years they've been trying to come up with a high seas treaty, or a, it's called like the BBNJ treaty. So the Biodiversity Beyond National Jurisdiction Treaty. And they've been trying to come up with like how, and I think it's been very political because like stuff like fishing and like fishing rights and all that and like what it would look like. And I don't think they've still figured out what the protected areas would look like. But basically on Saturday, they finally agreed on a treaty, which I feel like is like a good example of like the law and how the law will be like really effective in looking after the ocean, because I think they want to protect 30% of the high seas by 2030. So hopefully they're swift with that. But they still need to go through, like, you know, all this law stuff, like, like, I know, like, derogations and, like, enacting it and stuff. But I feel like that's where the law comes in, and that's where, like, the law is super relevant, because everything up until now has been kind of political, and obviously legal as well. But, yeah.
It's all so complicated with, like, international law as well. It is so political. It's not law like, like, criminal law of Ireland or anything, or, like, property law. It's not black and white. International law is so political, even when things get passed. It's so hard to hold, like, nation states to it. But it is so important to have those treaties happen and have those motions passed in order to even get a little bit of a little bit of movement, a little bit of responsibility taken by states, and acknowledgement that this is an issue and something that needs to be worked on at the very least.
And then I guess within Ireland, we have, like, protected species lists, they're all legal, and as well the marine protected areas, that's, like, legislative, and we've vowed to do 30% by 2030. I think the 30 by 30 seems to be, like, a pattern. But so far we have, like, less than 4%, and it's 2023.
Yeah.
So, like, the law and, like, I think it's the organization Fair Seas Ireland. I have no affiliation or anything, but they have, like, a little handbook on legislative guides to, like, marine protection and stuff, if people are interested in, like, how the law properly does it. But yeah, it's really, it's very topical, like, protective species lists, things like habitats directives, all that stuff. It's all very legal stuff, even from, like, environmental law in general, and, like, planning law and all that fun stuff that we learn in class.
Definitely, yeah, I think that was something I wasn't expecting with environmental law, was how, like, regulation heavy it really is. But that's good as well, because it means that there is a control there. Now, maybe moving on from the legal side of things before we bore anyone who's not interested in lawyerly things, what can people do to help the ocean, and kind of what is your thoughts on how we move forward with ocean conservation, especially as, like, young people?
I do think education is, like, a very big thing, and I feel like people might be sick of, like, the word awareness a little bit, but I do think, like, education and just, like, learning to appreciate the ocean is, in my opinion, because I think everything else, because once you appreciate something, you want to protect it, you know what I mean? And I think being educated on, like, there's so many good stuff on Netflix on the ocean, and just, like, there's lots of good, like, Instagram accounts, even just, like, very small things. And I also think another thing is, like, getting involved. So there's lots of these little projects called citizen science projects. So anytime, an example of one would be, like, you know, mermaids' purses, the little shark eggs.
Yeah.
So, like, anytime you see them on the beach, you can pick them up and, like, take a picture of them and send them in. There's Purse Search Ireland, and then there's also Shark Trust have, like, a little app where you snap a picture. And just, like, stuff like that, and there's loads of, like, education programs. And they're good to do with, like, younger kids as well, if you're, like, babysitting kids or, like, you have younger siblings. I think, you know, like, getting them involved and just, like, having conversations about the ocean, because, like, historically, Ireland's been a very ocean-reliant country. At least, like, you know, the coastal areas, like, going back, and even in my own family, like, going back, people were fishing, all that stuff. Whereas now I feel like we kind of forget that. and just like even just like environmentalism in general, like how much just like appreciating the earth and stuff.
Absolutely.
Because we're so lucky how like beautiful Ireland is and like how beautiful the ocean is. And I feel like when I was younger I didn't get that, but now that I'm older and like I come to the city and then I just like miss like grass and like cows and like the ocean.
Honestly, like this summer was the first summer since like I left home, like when I was like 18, so like I was 19 when I like moved out of home for the first time. And like every other summer I went back home, like either like I was living in Dublin and I came down for summer or whatever, but this year I stayed up in Cork City and it was like crazy to me. I got to the end of the summer and I'd had like one beach day. I was like, this is wrong, this is weird, this is like, because I was the same, I grew up by the ocean, I grew up like near a beach, so like I like even if I had been like working all summer any other year, I was like any day off, any evening off, I was like at the beach in the sea. And it's like, yeah, it's really weird when you like when you're an ocean baby to then like
yeah, no, I only noticed it when I came to college, kind of how much like, I don't know, I just like yearn for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think there is like some practical things as well to do the ocean, like plastic. Don't use one-use plastic as much as you can. So things like, you know, it's like something like 30% of things are, the recycling rates for Ireland are 30%. So even if like you're like, oh, it's okay because like this is gonna be recycled, like it might not.
Yeah, you know? No, it's actually kind of shocking when you find out like how little things actually get recycled.
But like 30% is better than like the worldwide percentage.
Yeah.
It's still not great, but it's better. So like stuff like using your reusable cup and stuff, and we're very lucky in UCC that we have the plastic free policy and stuff. But that kind of stuff, and like using like refill stations for like shampoo, conditioner, like personal hygiene, all that, just like as much as you can not use plastic or like reuse things, but don't throw out. If you have a shampoo that's in plastic, don't throw it out, just use it first.
Yeah,
and you can refill the bottle or something. And I think as well, what's another one, cleaning supplies. There's so much, like I feel like clean talk was such a thing, like all these like fancy cleaning supplies when like you don't need them economically.
Yeah,
and also like you don't need that many different chemicals, so like there's so much like, you know, alternatives, but not even alternative cleaning stuff, you can still have your cleaning stuff, but like you don't need that many.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like I feel like some people be like industrially cleaning their houses for like when it's really not necessary.
Yeah, like I obviously don't want like, you know, hospitals to start using baking soda and like thing, you know, you would feel better that like industrial cleaning still is a thing.
Yeah,
you know, but like you can use baking soda in your own home, like baking soda, vinegar, just like dish soap, you don't need that many things, and it works out so much cheaper.
Yeah,
because they're all like chemically the same thing. I don't do chemistry, so I don't know chemically, but like chemically they're all similar. You don't actually need, you know, a million different cleaning things.
You don't need like the super strong stuff for like a sauce spill on your hob, like
I know, like it's just like a little bit of like dish soap would be fine.
Yeah, like yeah, unless you've got like a 5-month-old baby who's like,
yeah, I do understand like cleaning stuff for
bodily
children.
Fluids and yeah.
Obviously I'm not saying to use baking soda for that, but like I think there's a lot of cleaning supplies is just one example.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do to kind of,
yeah, like
reduce.
Just and like the chemicals then go into the water system, same with like shampoo, conditioner, all those kind of stuff, so just like watch out for that.
There's like me coming from like a sustainable fashion background, like the microfibers like in clothing, microplastics in clothing.
Yes,
you
that's
can get
what I wanted
like
to say, shop secondhand.
But even with like when you're shopping secondhand, if you're getting like polyester clothing, there's these like, I don't even know how to describe them, they're like these balls that you put in your washing machine and they like gather the microfibers so that they don't get into the water and then get into the ocean.
Yes, plastics. It's like a good percentage of microplastics are from textiles.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. So like good quality fashion.
Yeah. Like obviously with when you're shopping secondhand, a lot of it is like secondhand fast fashion. But like there is kind of things that you can use like to catch at least some of those microplastics and microfibers.
And I think as well, like washing for shorter cycles and at lower temperatures is also supposed to help.
Yeah, most of your clothes don't need to be washed at like 60 degrees. Like,
they really don't, especially like if they aren't like visibly dirty. You know what I mean?
Besties, don't be washing your jeans like every time you wear them. Like, that's just bad for your jeans. Like, also, they like lose shape. Like, they're not meant to be washed like that often.
Even jean companies are like, say, like, they just say, like, it's not supposed to be washed that much.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's spreading the message that you shouldn't wash your clothes.
Got a little bit down a bit of a rabbit hole there. My little screen over here is screaming at me to broadcast some ads, so we're going to take a little ad break and then we'll be right back. You're listening to UCC 98.3 FM. My name is Erin and this is Objection. Is that working? Okay, I don't know if there's any ads going. No, okay, guess no ads. Keep moving on. So have you any other kind of like tips or tricks or kind of just any final comments you have about like helping the ocean?
Helping the ocean. Yeah, I just think there's lots of like, plastics and just like, fishing, food. That's what I wanted to say. The biggest plastic pollution is ghost nets, so like nets that from trawlers and stuff, and like it's something like 80% of our fish are like fished near like depletion and stuff. So try not eat as much fish, and if you do, be very careful about where it's coming from, because I think overfishing is a bit of like a controversial one because obviously like so many people around the world are employed through fishing, and even so many people like locally out of like Cork Harbour, like the big kind of places. But I think what they don't get is that sustainable fishing isn't an attack on fishing. If anything, it's like the opposite. Like when people talk about wanting to like put limits on fishing, like we're really trying to help the fishermen as well, because you know like soon enough there's not going to be enough fish, and then like the livelihood for like, it's something like 3 billion people are employed because of the ocean through like different kind of things. So just like watch out where you're getting your fish and stuff, and remember that like it's not an attack on fishing in general, because obviously that's been done for hundreds of years, but it's an attack on like that industrialized fishing and like, you know, like bottom trawling, where they just completely like excavate like coral reefs and like just like dredging in general, which like they do as well, not just for fishing but for so like massive boats can get through easier, which is just crazy, because and just like bycatch is a big thing as well, so like lots of marine animals are hurt even if they're not being caught, like dolphins, sharks. I love sharks so much. I won't get into sharks because I could talk all day about sharks, but just like things like that. I think watch out for how much fish you're eating.
Fair. I suppose like another kind of question along that line of thought as well is what are kind of like the biggest issues that you'd like people to kind of watch out for? Like you were saying, there's dredging. Is there anything else that's kind of like a big issue, a big kind of risk to the ocean at the moment?
At the moment, seabed mining or deep seabed mining is a big like topical issue, which kind of came into the High Seas Treaty, but is just like around more generally. So I think France recently banned it, or said they weren't going to, but it's like a big thing because there's kind of like an issue with like just like renewable stuff going forward. So I couldn't tell you the exact chemical, but they are seabed mining for chemicals to help in renewable energy. So then it's kind of like a iffy one. Mm. But seabed mining is one to like look out for, because they are, it's like a thing at the moment, and just like offshore drilling, all that stuff. Even in, I think it's in Alaska at the moment, they are, or in America, they're looking to like do some offshore drilling for oil. Like they're looking to start a new big like thing, which is crazy because I don't think we should be looking for more new oil. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like stuff like that, like there is things, and just like holding governments accountable. I'm not sure our stance on seabed mining, but it's definitely one to watch out for. And dredging, overfishing, just like plastic pollution in general and stuff like that, is a big, there's these things called dead zones.
Okay.
Which are kind of like, I think they kind of come from like stuff like farming and stuff like the, it, the farming stuff like comes through the water, mm-hmm. comes through the land and into the water. And then there's like these things called dead zones, and there's so many around them, of them around the globe, where like just nothing can live there.
Okay.
So that's to do with like runoff and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which kind of like shows like how even like farming, which like has, you know, not a lot to do with the sea,
mm-hmm.
has like such an impact on something like so far away, especially with like runoff and stuff. Like that takes years to go through.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually instant. So, you know, that could be a problem going forward, even if we do stop the scale of farming we are at now,
mm-hmm.
which I don't see happening, but even if we did. But, yeah, I think that would be, like, the kind of big ones that I can think of. Definitely just, like, keep on top of, like, the big issues,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And, like, there's stuff like finning sharks and stuff, which breaks my heart because I love sharks, and stuff. But that's not really a big thing here. I think in the EU it's pretty much kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all that I can think of now.
Well, that's great. There's a lot of big issues to kind of focus on there. Right. So kind of any final comments or thoughts before we wrap up, or anything that you want to like plug that's coming up, any events, just any final comments, basically.
I would say try not to eat fish. Would be my comment, and don't use that much plastic, and just like educate yourself. Like there's so many good like podcasts, these things. I don't really have anything to plug.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought about it earlier when you mentioned Netflix. There is this platform I came across recently called Water Bear, I think is what it's called. I hope that's right now. And it's like a free like movie and TV platform, but all the like movies and TV shows are about like social issues, like so there's
great.
Like ocean conservation stuff on there, there's like climate change stuff on there, but there's also like kind of like political like human rights issues and stuff like that. It's really interesting, and it's completely free.
Yeah,
I was like, wow. I can't believe I've like not heard of this before. I came across it recently.
Yeah, but even on like YouTube you can look up, or like Instagram's free, and there's so many organizations around Ireland. Like most organizations are on Instagram.
Yeah.
Now, which is so good. And like on Netflix, like a good one I think is Mission Blue,
mm-hmm.
which is by Dr. Sylvia Earle, who's like this leading marine biologist. She's super cool. And like David Attenborough, everyone loves David Attenborough. He actually has a good one in the Our Planet series. He has an episode on the high seas, so like the biodiversity of the high seas, which would be a good one to watch at the moment, because they're bringing in kind of a treaty around it, so you could properly know. Obviously, and then kind of different ones. I know there's Seaspiracy, but...
That was met with like a lot of like backlash from scientists as well, wasn't it?
I think like my biggest actual point would be that I kind of forgot to mention, but it would be to think like solution-based.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Don't think like doom and gloom. I know it's very easy to.
Yeah.
And I do obviously understand that people need to understand like the gravity of the situation. And you should be, don't be like, I don't know, I suppose it shouldn't be sugar-coated. And you can still hold governments accountable. You can let the governments know how bad it is.
Mm.
But I think you yourself need to remember, like, think solution-based and stuff. Like, there's so many good things happening. It's very easy, you know.
I think that's, like, a big thing across, like, the climate and environmentalist movement in general is, like, you have to have hope.
Yeah.
You have to have hope. And, like, so many people, like, involved in the movement, like, suffer then from, like, climate anxiety. And then, like, you can be completely, like, kind of almost frozen into being able to do anything because you get so stressed out by it, that like I think focusing like you say on the hope, on the solutions, is like,
yeah. And I think it gets more people involved in the movement as well, because people aren't gonna wanna help if you just tell them that they can't, or like people have to like know that they can make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people can.
You can make a difference, guys. Well, that was great, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for coming on. This was really interesting. I'm going to wrap us all up now. I think I might have figured out this ad situation, so we might get some ads in a second. But if anyone has kind of tuned in sort of later on into the interview and is interested in listening to the whole thing, fingers crossed, because our show logger is acting up again apparently, but fingers crossed that this will be podcasted later on in the week, so you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that was my interview with Emily Sweeney on ocean conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Objection with Erin on UCC 98.3 FM. See you next time.